plan for our lives. If you have a Bible with you or maybe a Bible app on your phone or tablet, you can open your Bible or turn it on to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs, the book of wisdom, great godly counsel for our life if we will simply heed it. Wisdom does you no good unless you heed its counsel, apply it consistently, thoroughly, and exactingly to your life, and me to my life as well. Today's text, very familiar to most all of us, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And today's topic is called Staying on Course, our third week, one more week next Sunday together on Going God's Way. Today, Staying on Course. So have you ever been traveling and lost your way? Guys, we hate this, don't we? I don't even like to admit it. And, you know, it basically always comes out the same way. You think you're going one way, and suddenly you realize, usually through someone else's insight, you're going another way. I have a little personal story about this, which isn't about me. It's about my Uncle Franz. See, Sherry and I were on a ministry trip. We were in Louisiana. We were doing a week of ministry down there. And, you know, from here in California, Southern Cal, you don't really get over to Louisiana much unless you intentionally go there. And I said to Sherry, you know, while we're here, we ought to stop and see Uncle Franz, Aunt Carol. And she said, great, let's do it. So we extended our time, took a little extra flight after we were done in ministry over to Baton Rouge, where they were. And they just picked us up at the airport. Have 2 days with them. It'd be great. And we had seen them at family reunions and other events, you know, usually like a wedding or a funeral or something like that, special occasion. But it was just nice to be with them on their home turf. And I remember Uncle Franz, very educated man, head of the foreign language department there at the university there in Baton Rouge. And he started driving us out. We were looking at the beautiful scenery. It's just beautiful, and the big trees and the willows and everything there in Louisiana, commenting on what a great day it was. And suddenly my aunt said, Franz, I think we're going the wrong way. He says, no, Carol, I know exactly where I'm going. So we kept going, and we were just catching up and chatting. About 20 minutes transpired, and suddenly Carol broke into the conversation. Franz, we really are going the wrong way. And he says, Carol, I know exactly what I'm doing. So we just kept driving. Went about another 20 minutes chatting in the car. Now she just said, Franz, pull the car over. We are definitely going. Look around. We're going the wrong way. And I still remember today what my uncle said to her in his great wisdom. He said, well, Carol, the beautiful thing about it is even if I am, we'll still get there eventually. I still do not know what that means. This week, as I was writing the notes out and putting it down the exact way he said it, I was shaking my head again. What does that mean? You know what? You're going to drive through the ocean and get around? I don't know. I don't know what he was after. But then after he said it, and we all were kind of in a state of bewilderment, he sort of drove about another minute. Then he pulled onto the shoulder in the gravel, made a big U-turn, and we were off going in the right direction. Personally, I can't fault him a bit. I can get lost in a parking lot. Ask Sherry. It's true. And she's just learned in our marriage to kind of cut that off at the pass. No, Mark, over there. Go that way. Our subject today is about keeping your sense of direction in life in the Lord, keeping your sense of direction. See, once you've accepted God's plan, in other words, received his son Jesus in your life, say, Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, I want to give my life to you, I want to follow you in life, walk with you through life, now you begin to find yourself on this journey of a lifetime. And I think we would be very amiss to think that our journey in Christ is automatic. That, of course, we're just going with God, everything's cool. But you see, at times, we wonder. We feel lost in life. We may ask, God, where are you leading me? Where's the road going? Maybe you're facing a big decision in your life. Do I choose A? Do I choose B? Maybe there's a C or a D. And how do you know? Especially when you're traveling with God and the scenery isn't familiar. where the sights are not what we expect. Where do you get your guidance in life? Well, where you get your guidance in life is huge. It's your internal sense of navigation. And this morning, in our very familiar text, we'll be reminded that how we get our navigation in life really determines our life course. It is more than starting your race well with Jesus Christ. It is about continually staying on course with Him. Brings us to this familiar statement, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Or, many English translations, He will direct your path. All right. I think what we're going to do is just sort of quarter this text up into four simple sections. We'll just start at the beginning and go right through with the phrases. First, trust in the Lord with all your heart, what I would describe as the requirement of trust. The requirement of trust. Notice that immediately God sets before us the core requirement, the core standard, the core essential, if you will, if we are going to travel well with Him through our life. God builds the basis of our relationship with Him on one thing, trust. Trust in Him. And that will not change. It is the fixed constant of a living, dynamic, healthy relationship with God. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus publicly correcting doubting Thomas. Thomas, who had such a hard time trusting the Lord in life, questioning, always wondering, always doubting. And even after Jesus had risen from the dead and others had told him so, multiple followers had told him so, what did Thomas say? I'm not going to believe it until I see his wounds and put my fingers in the wounds in his hands and in the wound in his side. And Jesus really confronted him and said, Thomas, what is it going to take for you to finally start trusting me? I think it's convicting because we all face this issue, and it is what I would describe as the issue of faith versus mistrust of God in our life in Christ. Now, there are many sort of antecedents to the concept of faith or trust in God, and faith, of course, is the word we use to describe having a vibrant trust in the Lord. Hebrews 10:38 says, my righteous one will live by faith. But rather than faith versus doubt or faith versus questioning, I think when you really put it all together, it's mistrust. In other words, saying, God, I don't believe you're guiding me. God, I don't believe you can provide for me. God, I don't believe you can handle it. And we all face that at times in our lives in Christ. Now, I found personally that the devil is very interested in creating a climate of mistrust in my life because, of course, any healthy relationship requires trust, and that health in relationship begins to disintegrate wherever there is mistrust. This, of course, is why it's so important to be trustworthy in a marriage relationship. Why it's important to be trustworthy with your friends, why it's important to be trustworthy with your kids or your grandkids or with your nephews or nieces, whatever the case may be. Because where there is mistrust, everything begins to break down. Now, I found the devil tries to attack in at least three subcomponent ways when it comes to mistrusting God. The first is fear. Fear, in other words, having an anxiety or an anxiousness about it. I don't know. This is looking pretty serious. And then there's inadequacy. inadequacy says, I'm just not sure God could really care about me. I'm not sure God, I'm not Billy Graham. Maybe he won't help me. He'd help some big servant of God like that, but I don't know. I'm just little old me. And then there's the questioning all that we do, the real doubt. Well, what if this isn't right? Well, what if I did the wrong thing? And what if God doesn't this? Or what if God doesn't do that? And through fear and inadequacy and questioning all we do, we soon find ourselves in a climate of mistrusting God rather than having an abiding confidence in him. Now, just like we can get temperature readings on the weather to get an idea of whether we should be outside with something to shade ourselves, a hat or umbrella, whether we should take a bottle of water with us, whether we need to get into the air conditioning, examples for us from the heat in the desert in the summer months. So I would say one of the ways we can evaluate or take a temperature reading on our level of confidence in God, our trust in the Lord, is say to ourselves, am I showing any signs of fear or anxiousness in my life right now that aren't being dealt with? Am I dealing with inadequacy in my relationship with the Lord, the one who loves me, the one who's forgiven me, the one who has assured me that he will care for me personally? Or am I dealing with doubt in my life? Am I questioning God? Am I questioning the decisions God's leading me into? And those can be little temperature readings on the mistrust and pushing it back and making sure we're staying in faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Do you know that when you accept the Lord in your life, God says he has good for you. God says he will bless your life. God says you are assured of an eternity with him. And so we need to keep that certain hope ever before us in our mind and in our spirit. Deuteronomy 31:6 is a wonderful verse to memorize if you struggle with trusting God in your life. If you're a person who says, I don't know, I get anxious a lot, Mark. I don't know, I doubt a lot, Mark. I don't know, Mark, I just get feeling kind of inadequate a lot. God says to you, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. And this, of course, is the same statement repeated in the New Testament in Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you or forsake you. And so if you're struggling with trusting God in every moment of life, in every decision, in every part of your journey with him, what a great verse to memorize and then to just quote out loud to yourself whenever you face those warning temperature signs coming into your life. Let me just ask you, what do you need to turn over to God today? What is it that you need to actively trust him with? See, if you're going to go God's way, you have to learn to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, that his way is the right way, and that he will get you there. And sometimes we can trace our lack of trust back to the fact that we don't think his way is the right way for our life. And if you're still struggling with that, go back and listen to last week's message where we dealt with that topic. You have to settle that his way is the right way for your life, buy into that, and then now trust him that he's going to effectively accomplish that, that he's going to get you there. Okay, the bottom line is this, trust is a must. There's just no way around it. You will never enjoy, believer, a healthy, abiding journey through life with Christ until you trust the Lord with all your heart. Okay? Secondly, we see next in the text what I would describe as the danger of stepping in. The danger of stepping in. In other words, to kind of use again the analogy of being in a road trip with God, if you don't like the road you see up ahead that God's guiding you into, you're ready to kind of grab the wheel and veer off course. How does Scripture respond to this temptation or this knee-jerk reaction? It says, do not lean on your own understanding. Don't step in to change course. When the curves come in the road, when the obstacles in the path of life hit, what will you do? God says, keep going forward with me. This is what I would describe as our struggle with spirituality versus our humanity. Now, have you ever had these times? I can think of them in my life where I thought, well, I believe God wants this, but I don't know. I just don't think that's a good idea. And we wrestle back and forth. There have been times in my life where I felt where God was guiding me, or since being married now for so many years, where God has been guiding us as a couple and as a family, where I've thought, you got to be kidding me. This is crazy. This is ridiculous. Am I stupid? And that's my humanity wrestling with the spirituality God has put within me. But you see, if God directs, Scripture tells us here in Proverbs 3, do it. And don't rely on your own understanding of the situation. Don't rely on your own thinking. Remember, sometimes God calls us into the unknown. That's when life gets exciting in the Lord. Sometimes He leads us through in order to get to. It's funny how we want to naturally avoid all the mud puddles, avoid all the dips, avoid all the dark tunnels. We just want to have a bright, sunny road all the way to where God's taking us. But I would just remind you, believers, sometimes God leads us through in order to get to. All right. So I was completing my second year of college, and I was praying a lot about my future. I think, you know, it's kind of an age in life where you're praying a lot, God, what do you want me to do and what's right for me? And I'd already settled in my life that I really wanted to live my life for the Lord. In other words, I didn't want to be a Christian who just said I believed in Jesus and went my own way. I really wanted to pursue God's will for my life. And so I was saying, Lord, help me to do your will. And I remember I was wrapping up my second year, getting ready for my third year of college, and things seemed to be on track for me. And suddenly I just kind of sensed like God wanted me to change my major. And the thing that kept coming to mind is change to speech, be a speech communications major. And I thought, why do I want to do that? And I really, no, Lord, thank you. That's a stupid idea. And, you know, I keep praying. And it just seemed like over several weeks, I just couldn't shake it. Just kept coming. Be a change. Be a speech major. There's nothing to do with the major I'm in now. I don't even know what I do with that. I mean, honestly, there are some ministers who wanted to be a minister their whole life. I respect that. I never wanted to be. Not for one minute. Because my dad was a minister, his dad was a minister, and his dad was a minister, and I saw what it was like to be a minister. Didn't want to do it. So I thought, well, what am I going to do being a speech maker? But I couldn't shake it. Finally, I remember I was in prayer one day, and I just said, okay, Lord, if that's you, if you want me to be a speech major, okay, I'll do it. And I had this peace come over me. Well, that's it. All right. So went into the college offices, changed, became a speech major. You know, they have you fill out these forms, sign the paper. You're all done. And I remember starting my third year of college going into speech 101. That's that class, you know, where they have you do all these various speeches, this kind of speech, that kind of speech. And you go in that classroom the first day, and there are all these other students. You don't know anybody, and you're thinking, what am I doing here? And I remember the professor said that first day, speech 101. He said, okay, I know it's a big class. We have a lot of people. We've got time. Let's just dedicate today's class session as we start speech 101, going around the whole room, and just briefly, we don't have a lot of time, briefly share why you're taking this course. So everybody started sharing, and it was, well, you know, I've always wanted to be in politics, and speech is my passion, and, you know, that's why I wanted to do it. And someone else said, well, you know, actually, I'm a business major, but I thought learning to speak well would be good for doing presentations and sales someday and in executive work. And someone else said, well, I needed the class to take credits, and it was available. And then they came to me, and it was a moment of truth. Was I going to make up a reason, or was I going to just say it? So I just said it. I don't know him anyway. I'm just going to say it. So he says, Mr. Cedar, why are you taking speech 101? And I said, because God told me to. Secular university here in Southern California. You can guess what happened. Dead silence. Everything just stopped. I'm pretty sure the air conditioner stopped. The clock stopped. The professor stopped. There was kind of a sucking in of air in the whole room. You could feel the vacuum. And then nothing. And that kind of continued for a while. And then finally, the professor just kind of cleared his throat. Who's next? And they just kind of went on. But there you go. I was just trying to be transparent. The idea is this: when God directs your life, don't mess with it. Isn't it a funny thing? I remember in that moment thinking to myself when I was young, saying, God, would you take my life and use it for your glory? And you know what's funny? When you pray something like that, God does it. He takes you seriously. So why be surprised when God starts changing your course, when God starts correcting your direction, when God calls you into something you didn't understand or realize? See, stepping in to try to get what you want can totally derail your life and your ministry. And I'll tell you something. If you're married, guys, it's profound because now you're affecting your spouse's life. And if you have kids, it's profound because now you're negatively affecting your whole family. You see, our decisions have implications not only for our own lives, but for the lives of those we love who are near us. And so my encouragement is, understand that if the devil can't have you, and he can't, when you accept Christ, you're assured of God's forgiveness in heaven for eternity. What can he do? He can try to neutralize your life for the kingdom of God. He can try to convince you that you know what's best for your life, that if you give your life to God, you're going to miss out on everything valuable and important and significant, that God's going to poop your party, that God's going to ruin your future, and you need to just do whatever you want to do. And he's going to do that in a lot of subtle ways. And I found in my life, sometimes my life was almost derailed through the advice of good friends, some of them Christians. Oh, Mark, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. Speech? Don't do that. Sometimes through discouraging situations. We've all been there, right? We get into a hardship. We say, oh, this couldn't be God's will for my life. I got to take action on this. Sometimes worldly wisdom that tells us, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. The bottom line is, once you get into God's plan for your life, don't step in it. In other words, think of your life as wet cement before the Lord so that God will order your steps. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in their way. Therefore, take each step forward with the Lord well, and don't mess up the path God's given you. Don't step in it. Stay the course. Sometimes we do need to pause to check the roadmap, go back to the Word of God, go back to prayer. God, or am I proceeding in the way you want? Not God, prove it to me and then I'll do it. No. Just God, am I proceeding the way you want? And you know what? This is why Sherry and I have always had the practice that when we hear from the Lord in our lives through Bible study time, through prayer, through discussion together, we'll write down what God wants. Why? So we don't mess up our understanding of what he wants later. You know what I found? I found that if you follow the Lord emotionally, you're destined for problems. You want to let your trust in God guide you, not your emotions. How's today going? Oh, it's a good day to follow Jesus. How's today going? Oh, this is not a good day to follow Jesus. I need to take action. No. Not feelings. You do it in a firm conviction that he has the right plan for you, and you just keep doing it. And when you know the benchmarks, the guideposts, so to speak, the road signs he has for your life, God wants this. You write it out, and then you post it. You put it in your Bible, stick it up on the fridge, put it on your desk at home, carry it in your wallet or purse, so that whenever you say, well, you know, it's getting tough, and mark my words, it'll get tough. In fact, let me ask you, what do you think Daniel was thinking when he faithfully followed God in a heathen land? Where did it lead him? To a lion's den. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who tried to be the only ones in the kingdom of King Darius who honored the living God, the one true God? Where did it lead them? To a fiery furnace. But they trusted God. They didn't operate in emotion. They stayed the course. They didn't step in it. And God brought them safely through to the other side. I am convinced wholeheartedly that God will take us, believers, safely exactly where he wants us if we will just stay the course. Sometimes you know you're going God's way because it gets messy. It's all right. If God's with you, it's where you want to be. Just hang on to it. Don't lean on your own understanding. If you're going to live your life in Christ by human logic, trust me, your life will not be significant for the kingdom of God. God will test you in it. Mark my words. If you say, God, I'm going to trust you, he's going to say, let's find out. Now, why does God do that? Why does he allow some difficulty to come in? Why does he say, okay, we're going to find out if you're going to trust me? Not because he's mean, not because he's harsh, not because he wants to see you fail. He wants to see you succeed and shine through. Why? Because he's a personal God, and he wants to prove to you, believer, personally to you, that he's faithful and true, that he can take you through. So give him the chance to do that. When you get in the hard situation, but you know you're in God's will, just say, God, this is going to be a doozy. How are you going to get me out of this one? I'm just waiting to see what you're going to see. That's what Daniel was thinking. I'm going in the lion's den. God, this is a doozy, but you got it. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They said, we can't lose with the Lord. Whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. Throw us in. It's time for a little vacation. Then, thirdly, we see what I would describe as the reminder of all. In all your ways, acknowledge him. All is a very comprehensive word. It means everything. It means leaving nothing lacking. Absolutely acknowledge him in your life. This is the struggle we face in our humanity of a complete versus a conditional surrender to God. Complete versus conditional. Letting him have his way in everything, in every way in our lives. So let me ask you, what's the point of kind of following God? What's the point of that? You're really not following it at all if you're kind of following it. What's the point of kind of turning your life over to him? Let me ask you, believer, what part of your life do you think God can't handle? What part of your life is too special to you that you're not willing to turn it over to him? Here's the point. Listen to me. The best blessings, the greatest adventures awaiting you in your life in Christ, the biggest payoffs of living for the Lord will only come to be when you give it all to him, when you give him everything. He's waiting to bestow blessing and favor on you when you'll finally just say enough, take it all, take it all. Romans 8:37 says, in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. So just give it all to Jesus. Give him everything in your life. Give him your life. Give him your family. Give him your future. Give him your possessions. Give him your time. Give him your ambitions. Just give it to him and say, God, you've got better for me than I do. And I'm not going to evaluate your better by how today goes or by how tomorrow goes. I'm going to just know already it's better. It's the best. And I'm going to trust you for the outcome. Then, knowing that we have everything given over to him and that he has it all under control, we must press on in him. And that's the other part of all your ways, acknowledging him. Giving it all to him, and then pressing on in him. You ever been on one of those road trips, you know, maybe when you're a kid, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Sometimes there's no getting around the lonely miles. Sometimes there's no getting around the boring laps. All of our lives have boring miles. All of our lives have laps where we say, really, really? But you know what? It's worth it for the destination. Philippians 3 says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's only one way to get where God wants you to be, and that's to press on with him. Great things require great investment. They cost. Great things are not just handed to you. You have to go after them. You have to stick with them. You have to take hold of them. And then you need to hang on. That's how it works. Coach Vince Lombardi put it this way, quote, "Press on. Nothing in this world takes the place of persistence," end quote. Remember when Jesus was preparing to go to the cross to die for our sins? The greatest act of redemption and reconciliation of all of human history. It would make the difference for all of us who would come to believe in him for all eternity. And what did it say? When he knew it was time, Luke 9:51, Jesus resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, nothing could stop him to going where he needed to go. When God tells you what to do and where to go, my friend in Christ, don't let anyone or anything stop you. Go. And go by the Spirit of God in the way he calls you. The bottom line is this, let go, and then press on, press on. There are days we're going to want to quit, to use the allegory of car travel. There are days we want to just stop the car and get out. God says, shh, just stay buckled in and let him drive. Lastly, and we're through, the promise of the master, the promise of the master. And this is where the payoff comes. It says, if you will do these things now, he will make your paths straight. Thereby denoting that if you don't do these things, your paths will not be straight. You will not get to the destination God has intended for you. Your life will not bear the fruit for the kingdom of God he intended. Life will not receive all of the blessing he intends. He will make your paths straight. He will cause you to remain on course. And this is the importance of following his guidance versus wandering. Wandering. The children of Israel, they wandered for 40 years in the desert. Why? Because they started complaining. They wanted God's help, and then when God intervened, they started complaining about it. What did they say? It's too hot, God. It's too tiring, God. It's too difficult, God. And God, forgive me, I've said all three of those. How about you? So please forgive me, Lord. Your way is the best way. Your way is the right way. And God, you're doing a fabulous job. I just want to travel with you. It's about getting going God's way and then not wavering. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then in James 1:6, a wonderful supportive text to the same concept. The one who doubts is like the waves of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Okay, so little field trip. Go for a day to the beach this summer if you haven't been already. Just head out there, say, Pastor Mark said I got to take a field trip, go to the beach, and just watch those waves. It's a fascinating thing. When we all go to the beach, what do? We all just get mesmerized. We just watch those waves go in and out, in and out, in and out. Okay, now I love the beach. I love the waves, so I'm not trying to demonize the waves at all. But you know what? The waves are a wonderful illustration of what happens when you doubt God in your life and his plan for your life. Just like those waves that just keep coming in and going out, coming in and going out, churning and spurning and spraying, and the salt water gets in your eyes and stings. When you doubt God's course in your life, when you start leaning on your own understanding, when you mistrust God, when you don't acknowledge him to go his way that he's directing you in, you know what? You're just like those waves. All they do is go in and out all day long, and they don't get anywhere. They just keep churning. And that's a miserable way to live as a believer in Christ. The one who doubts is like the waves of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Remember, if your heart is to follow the Lord, when you stumble, when you fall short, it's okay. God's an expert at repaving our road, at even using our stumblings of getting us back on track. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he who has called you, and he also shall bring it to pass." You don't have to make your life in Christ a success. He will. The bottom line is this. He knows what he's doing. Just stay on course with him. Let's pray. So, Lord, this is what we pray we would do. Sometimes our humanity wrestles with it. Sometimes our emotions kick in and we doubt it. Sometimes, Lord, we fear it. And sometimes, Lord, we want you to explain it before we walk in it. Sometimes you test us through it. And sometimes we complain about it. Forgive us, we pray, oh God. And help us to simply stay the course with you, to just let it ride. For, Lord, we are sobered and reminded that we only get one shot at this thing called life, and we want to live it well. And, Lord, living it well is turning our lives over to you and then just staying the course with you and experiencing what you will do. Today, Lord, we give you our current struggles, our current needs, our current hurts, our current longings. Some of us, God, are in dark tunnels on the road today. Some of us, God, are on sunny highways. Some of us, God, are in potholes. Some of us have pulled over to the side of the road. Some of us, Lord, are facing tough things. Help us to just stay the course and worship you. Thank you that weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Thank you that you know where you're taking us, and we look forward to what you have ahead. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Would you stand? We'll close. If you'd like prayer today, members of our prayer team are coming up right now. Patty and Sherry are coming up. Love to pray with you. Hang around. Meet somebody new. Be encouraged. The Lord has a great plan. He's working it out. And it's a great destination. Great destination. Now may God bless you. May God keep you. May God make his face shine on you. May God be generous to you. May God give you his peace. And may God bless your course and give you a path worth living. Amen.